All right, good morning again. Go ahead and have a seat. As I mentioned in my current messages, I'm talking about the essentials of a powerful and effective God time. And again, as I define a God time as a conversation with God, where God speaks to us through his word and we speak to him through praise and prayer. And this is one of the most important things in our Christian life. And that's why I want to talk about this, is to help these times be more consistent for you and more effective for you. And one of those essential parts of a God time is something I call openness with God. And openness with God in your God times is being honest with God about your struggles and feelings. Being honest with God about your struggles and feelings. Openness is essential to a close relationship with anyone, isn't it? And this includes a relationship with God, being open with him. Being open with God is expressed in my primary text for today. The Apostle Peter wrote, "Give all your worries and cares to God because he cares for you." 1 Peter 5, verse 7. And the primary point of my message is being open with God about your negative feelings helps you have power over them. So first I want to discuss the basic meaning of our primary text here in 1 Peter 5, 7. Again, Peter wrote, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." And worries is not all that the Greek word here means. It can generally refer to all kinds of negative feelings. John MacArthur writes in his commentary on 1 Peter, quote, "The word can include feeling discontentment, discouragement, despair, questioning, pain, suffering, and whatever other difficulties we encounter," unquote. So that's kind of common with the Greek language, is that we try to use one English word to describe it, but it can mean a lot more than that. So therefore, the subject of Peter's command is things in your life that tempt you to feel especially afraid or worried, weighed down, or feel angry, or feel shame and feel guilt. The things that keep you up at night are the things that Peter's talking about. Your suffering and your pain. The Greek can literally mean what is distracting you or even pulling you apart. Big, negative, overwhelming feelings. What does God want us to do with these? As my primary point states, being open with God about your negative feelings helps you have power over them. How does this happen? Well, again, Peter says, give all those worries and cares to God, because he cares about you. So what does it mean to give our negative feelings to God? It means to eventually resolve those negative feelings by trusting him with whatever is making us feel that way. I'm going to talk more about that in a moment. So how do you give all your worries and cares to God and sufficiently trust that he cares about you? How does that actually happen? How do we experience that when we're feeling all these things? Well, I want to talk about three steps for that to happen. And the first one is, of course, honestly express these negative feelings to God. You can hardly give your worries to God without expressing your worries to God, okay? God wants you to give your worries and struggles and all negative and even sinful feelings to him. But to do that, you must express these things to him. There's no other way. You got to express them. Just be open with them about what's going on inside your heart. And the Psalms are a very good example of this, aren't they? If you have read many of David's Psalms, you know that he had a very open relationship with God. There was nothing that he was afraid to talk to God about. He often expressed anger, disappointment, fears, and despair to the Lord. I think you will find almost every human emotion expressed somewhere in the Psalms. This is one reason that David and God were very close. It was because David had this kind of open relationship with God in his life. And that's what I want for all of us. The Psalms are a record of divinely inspired God times. And there is a lot of emotion expressed in them. You want to know what a God time should look like? Read a Psalm. And there's a lot of emotion in them. Both good feelings like joy and thanksgiving, but also bad and even sinful feelings like anger and envy. Sorrow, disappointment, guilt, and fear, as I said before. Now, some people have a hard time believing some of the Psalms even belong in the Bible because of some of the feelings expressed in them. For example, David prayed regarding one of his enemies, quote, he loved to curse others. Now, God, you curse him. Whoa, imagine praying that. God probably didn't grant his prayer, but David said it anyway. This is one of the reasons David was so close to God. He learned to talk to God about everything, even anger. If you know me very well, you know that I'm on the personalities, I'm kind of on the lower end of expressing emotion. So I'm probably a really good person to give this message because I'm telling you, I'm not a really emotional person. I'm not nearly as emotional as some of you are. And yet, that's not a negative statement. I'm not trying to criticize. My wife wishes sometimes I was more emotional. But I have learned that even a less emotional person like me needs to learn how to do this. I'm confident David was more of an emotional man than I am. But he's such a good example, even to me, of how we need to interact with God with our emotions and how important that is. I love the Psalms. Like many parts of the Bible, though, you got to understand, not everything in the Psalms is an example of a spirit-controlled person, okay? Asking God to curse somebody probably isn't. I'm not sure if David was in the spirit when he said that. But that is not their purpose. God gave us the Psalms to show us what an honest relationship with the Father looks and sounds like, okay? In a very unique way, the Psalms not only speak to us, but they speak for us. They express what is so often in our hearts and that needs to be expressed to God. And this attribute of Psalms and David's God's time, is really succinctly stated in this verse, Psalm 62, verse 8. I love this verse. I thought a lot about this. David writes, O my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. Pour out your heart to him. This is what David would want to teach us. He tells us to pour out your heart to God. What does that mean? Well, in the Bible, your heart is the source of your thoughts, your desires, and your feelings. And essentially, David was saying that God wants you to talk to him about everything in your life. This includes the bad stuff in your heart, like feeling anger and worry and discouragement. God's word says, pour out your heart to him no matter what is there. Notice in Psalm 62 that David says we have to trust God to pour out our hearts to him. We have to believe God is our refuge for these emotional struggles, and he's not our critic. Only when we trust God enough will we entrust him and confess to him all that is in our heart, including expressing our sinful and negative feelings to him. But again, many Christians struggle with this, to talk to God about these things. Perhaps you grew up in a family or a church where openness about such things was discouraged. Maybe there was no one who accepted your feelings or even wanted to know them. They just told you, shut up, shut it down. And they certainly didn't want to help you resolve them. They just wanted them stopped. But David is telling us that now, Christian, you do have someone. You have someone now who wants to hear everything in your heart and help you with it. He is your Father in heaven. He's not like any father on earth. He wants to hear your hurts and he wants to help you with them. Your Father in heaven is a safe and compassionate person for his sons and daughters. I hope you believe that with all of your heart. You can talk to him. When you spend time with God, you are spending time with the person who loves you more than anyone else you know on this earth. You can trust him and talk to him about everything. So what is your dad's response to you being open about your life, even your sinful feelings? The Bible says the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate. Because he knows how weak we are. He remembers we're made of dust. Likewise, the scriptures say the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. When your spirit is crushed, you are experiencing the overwhelming feelings of anger and fear and discouragement. And in those times, the Lord is close to you. David believed and wrote in Psalm 31, I will be glad and rejoice, be happy in your unfailing love, because you have seen my troubles and you care about the anguish in my soul. He cares. And he wants you to talk to him about it to help you. Charles Spurgeon said this about Psalm 62, verse 8, about pouring your heart out to God, as David said. He said, quote, "People, pour out your heart before him. You to whom his love is revealed, reveal yourselves to him. His heart is set on you. Lay bare your hearts to him. Turn the vessel of your soul upside down in the secret presence, in his secret presence, and let your inmost thoughts, desires, sorrows, and sins be poured out like water," unquote. I'm sorry. He goes on to say, "Hide nothing from him, for you can hide nothing," unquote. Amen. Before leaving this section, I want you to note something important. Isn't it obvious that to pour out your heart to God, it would help to express those things out loud? Again, this is the reason I don't like the phrase quiet time to describe our devotional times with God. I prefer to call it a God time. And because some of the most powerful God times you will have in your life will not be quiet at all, okay? You need to learn to yell at God out loud. I'm just telling you from experience. And to praise him out loud and even sing to him out loud. It'll bless your relationship with him. As you read the Psalms, do you think David was just thinking these things in his head silently? No. He was expressing them and singing them with his mouth out loud. And so did Jesus, by the way. We read in Hebrews, "While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with loud cry and tears." Jesus was very expressive verbally in his relationship with God. You got to find a place to do that. I know it can be hard. I know when I travel overseas, especially in India, people are everywhere. There's no places where you can't find people, okay, in India. They're everywhere. So it can be hard to find a quiet place to do that. But I'm encouraging you to do that because, again, one of the difficulties, greatest difficulties in our God times is our mind will just drift to all different sorts of things. Okay, what was I talking to God about? It's ridiculous. You're talking to God. You'd think you'd have your focus on him. But your mind just drifts all over the place. It's embarrassing. But if you will have your quiet time out loud with God, if you'll pray out loud, if you'll sing out loud, it'll help you focus on God. So in the openest part of your God time, ask your heart this question. Brothers and sisters, I ask myself this question every single day. I came here to this auditorium this morning, and I asked myself this question. Are there any bad feelings I'm struggling with today, such as worry or anger or discouragement? What's going on in my heart that I can talk to God about? And that's how you begin the openest part of a powerful God time. It works. I've been doing it for a long time, and I want to encourage you to do it as well. So God tells us, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And the first step in doing this is to honestly express these negative feelings to God. Because as my primary point states again, being open with God about your negative feelings helps you to have power over them. And that's the goal here, not to just express them and vent, but to resolve them. So honestly expressing our negative feelings to God is the first step to giving them to him and trusting him with them. In a moment, I will describe two more practical steps to resolving our overwhelming negative emotions with God in our God times. But first, I want to talk more about more reasons to be open with God. Another reason to be open with God about your negative feelings is this. It helps you begin your day being controlled by God's Spirit. There's nothing important for your day. It's a wasted day if you're not controlled by God's Spirit living inside of you, okay? If we are starting our day weighed down with worry and anger and discouragement, we are beginning our day controlled by our sinful nature. It's that simple. The Bible commands us not to worry or stay in anger. Therefore, these feelings are sinful. Likewise, the Bible commands us to always be joyful. So even discouragement comes from our sinful nature, not God's Spirit, ever. So if these negative and even sinful feelings are in our heart at the beginning of our day, they will hinder us in being controlled by God's love and joy and peace that comes from his Holy Spirit throughout our day. Again, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything." It is tempting to think that the best thing to do with your worries and negative feelings or anger is just to push them down and try to forget about them. It's tempting to do that. Our culture, our parents, even the church encourages us often, too often, to do that. But those negative things, that anger, that worry, it just keeps coming back, doesn't it? It just keeps coming back. And it just chases you all day long, all week long, your whole life long. Those things chase you. And you keep running from them instead of stopping to confront them, turn around and face them with Jesus. The best thing to do is to confront your worries and do your best to resolve them with God in your God time. Again, what does our primary text tell us to do with our worries and cares and negative feelings? Does it say suppress them? Does it say push them down? No, here with Paul, he said we should pray about our worries and cares. And Peter wrote in our primary text today that God commands us and encourages us, hey, give all your worries and cares to God. Not push them away and try to suppress them and forget about them. And the first step to giving our cares to God is not suppressing these emotions, but expressing them to God. Because, again, being open with God about your negative feelings helps you have power over them. So we want to confront and resolve our worries in our God time so we can begin our day controlled by God's Spirit and seek to stay that way. There are other reasons to be open with God about our negative and even sinful feelings. First, these things are poison in our heart. Expressing negative, overwhelming, and sinful feelings to God helps to start getting that poison out of your heart. For example, listen to what David experienced with feeling guilty and the poison and weight of that. Psalm 32, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are complete, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. That's the New Living Translation. I love that. There it is. Another reference to being open with God. Living your life in complete honesty with God, even though he already knows what is in your heart. David goes on, when I refused to confess my sin, be open with what was in my heart, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. You see, these negative, oppressive, even sinful feelings are like spiritual poison in our heart. So what did David do to resolve his guilty feelings? He says, finally, I confessed. I was open with God. I verbalized all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And you forgave me. Of course, he had already done that. But more importantly, my guilt is gone. You don't have to confess your sin to be forgiven by God. But you may need to in order to release that sense of guilt that you have about your sin. And that's what David experienced. So another reason to express and be open with God about our negative and sinful feelings is to help us get rid of this, the poison that they cause in our heart. Or as my primary point puts it, being open with God about your negative feelings helps you to have power over them. So anger and worry are other examples. Sometimes suppressing our sinful feelings like anger and worry. Listen, sometimes suppressing those things makes them feel less sinful, okay? But anger or worry in your heart is just as sinful as acting them out. It may not be as destructive, but it is just as sinful. And that anger and worry, again, will poison your heart. And being open with God about your anger and worry helps you to have power over them. Another reason to be open with God about your worry or guilt or other negative and sinful feelings is to feel closer to God. That's right. Some of you may struggle to believe that. But feeling worry, anger, and discouragement and guilt make you feel separated from God. We know that. But if you can start talking to God about your feelings and even your sin, it makes God feel closer to you. Trust me on that. You're not trying to hide from him anymore. Listen, your closest friends are those you are the most open with, aren't they? And God wants to be your closest friend in your life. God values our real feelings more than our false fronts. Openness is a vital part of experiencing an honest, mature, and real friendship with your Father in heaven. Another reason to be open with God about your negative and even sinful feelings is to protect other people. I learned the benefit of this when I was first married. As a young husband, I sometimes got very frustrated and angry with my wife, Brenda. Can you believe that? She's a saint. But I noticed that if I expressed that anger to her, it devastated her. Surprise! And that made me feel even worse. So I started doing this. When I was getting frustrated and angry, I left our apartment that we were living in. I just went to a quiet place. Maybe it wasn't always a quiet place. Maybe people heard me. I didn't care. I went out and I started yelling at God. And oh boy, did I let him have it. I just let it all out. And every single time I did that, I mean every single time I did that, after I had dumped all those negative feelings on God, I was ready to receive the truth from him. Like, every time he helped me to see what I had done wrong and helped me forgive Brenda for whatever she had done wrong, which was usually nothing. I mean, we know that, right, guys? It's always our fault. God is a safe person to yell at. I've yelled at him countless times. You are not going to hurt his feelings. God can handle whatever emotion you want to express to him. But people cannot. People can't handle those emotions. You're going to hurt them. When someone hurts us, what is our first temptation? To tell those people they hurt and offended us. To vent on them. Stop doing that. I want to encourage you to vent on God. Talk to him first about your hurts before you ever talk to people about them. And as God helps you forgive them or recognize what you did wrong, you will often find there's no need to talk to that other person about their offense. It's forgiven. God's given you peace about it, and you can move on. One of the best things you can learn in life is to yell and complain at God instead of people. That's my own personal experience. In the process, you'll grow closer to God and protect your relationships with people. All of these reasons are why my primary point is true. Being open with God about your negative feelings helps you to have power over them. It is also why God tells us in our primary text, give all your worries and cares to God because he cares for you. Now, in the final part of my message here today, I want to talk about how we practically obey this command, okay? We've established that the first step is giving our negative emotions to God and being open with him about them. But we have noted that this is not all that giving our cares and worries to God means. As I said earlier, to give our negative feelings to God means to eventually resolve those negative feelings by trusting him with whatever is making us feel that way. So how do we resolve our negative feelings after we have taken the first step in expressing them to him? The next step is this: ask why you are feeling that way. One of the greatest mistakes that Christians make is just letting their negative and sinful emotions control them without asking why they are feeling that way and getting under those emotions to recognize what beliefs and lies are causing that fear and that worry and that discouragement. What are you believing to cause you to feel that way? You see, Satan just wants you to feel worried, feel angry and afraid and discouraged. He never wants you to ask why you're feeling that way, because when you start asking why, you're beginning to understand why you are feeling those things, and you're beginning to reveal the source and the power that those emotions are having over you, which is, again, always simply believing a lie about God's love for you. It's that simple. All of those negative, sinful feelings are always caused by one thing. You're believing a lie. There's a part of your heart that's believing a lie about God's love for you. And the good news is that lies are the only weapon Satan has against us, and he just wants us to be controlled by them instead of confronting them. Okay? So spiritual warfare is very simple. I want to show you the example of Asaph in Psalm 42. He was a priest during the reign of King David, and God inspired him to write some of the Psalms. In Psalm 42, Asaph records one of his God times and demonstrates the three steps to resolving and giving your worries and negative feelings to God. Three times in his God time, Asaph says this: why? Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. So let's notice first that Asaph is being honest with God about his negative feelings. He's not suppressing his discouragement or his sadness. He is acknowledging them before God, that he's discouraged and he's sad. But he didn't stop there just letting these feelings control him. He did the second step. He asked himself why he was discouraged and sad. And it wasn't about his circumstances. You have to go deeper than that. It's what you're believing. It's not what's happening around you, always. It's always something about disbelieving in God's love for you, always. So what did Asaph realize? Well, the underlying reason that he was feeling discouraged was because he was not putting his hope in God. He recognized that. He was believing a lie about God's love for him somewhere. So we ask our hearts why it is feeling these negative things, and we are doing this to reveal the underlying lie that this part of our heart is believing about God. The goal of asking why we are feeling these negative emotions is to identify the lie that is causing them. It will always be something about God not loving you. Some part of your heart is not believing in God's almighty love for you. Deep down, it will be because part of you believes and feels something like you are alone in this place. You are worthless. You are unsafe. You are hopeless, whatever. Those are all lies, by the way. And God will help you that. I'm going to ask Matt Huther to come up here and join me for a moment. Matt is the director of our Renew Ministry counseling here at New Life Community Church. And those who have experienced Renew Ministry know what I'm talking about when I'm describing resolving our negative emotions by revealing lies that are causing them and then receiving the truth that resolves them. I wanted to bring Matt up here to tell you a little bit about how Renew Ministry principles have actually helped him in his God times.
Thank you. Mind if I borrow your podium here?
Sure. You're standing on holy ground, but that's okay.
Thank you. Yeah, so I feel like it's funny that Kurt asked me to do this because I don't feel like I'm an example of God times. I feel like I've done them all the wrong way, and it's just for
okay, let's get somebody
yeah,
else.
Yeah, let's get
here.
Out of here. trial and error, you guys can learn from my mistakes. So that's what I hope to share with you today. But when I started coming to New Life, I was not taking my emotions seriously. I didn't know what they were. I didn't know why I was feeling the way I was feeling. I didn't know that they were signals that God was using to invite me into a closer relationship with him. It really wasn't until I actually ended up in Kurt's office because I had overwhelming emotions I couldn't ignore anymore that I had to be told these truths that had become an anchor to me and my God times. But as I began to understand my emotions more, I did go to God consistently, and I was very open with him. But I found that something was happening as I was doing my God times consistently. I began wrestling with myself. I began recognizing fleshly patterns in my mind as I was praying over my emotions, and I realized something. I was trying to, in a almost a shame-covering kind of way, trying to make myself feel spiritual enough or to fix myself so that I didn't have these negative emotions, so that I could feel like I'm good enough to be in God's presence. It was exhausting. I remember just truthing myself, using Bible verses just so I could get these negative emotions out of here, analyzing these emotions, just trying to fix them, trying to find the key that would make them go away. And like I said, it was futile. And so it was through actually my brothers here at this church, we'd have conversations and they helped me see this blind spot that I thought was just a spiritual habit of trying to fix myself. I thought that was a really good thing. But I was doing it in the flesh and I didn't recognize this. Paul says in Galatians 3:3, having begun by the Spirit, are you now trying to fix yourself by your own human effort? That is actually one of the translations I really like. It actually says, fix yourself. We can relate to that word. So I was using my God times to try to fix myself, to drive this shame away that I feel like I didn't measure up, and even how I was feeling. So ironically, God was using my God times to root out my flesh in my God times. So God is very sneaky that way, and he does this in an ironic way to all of us, I believe. But he was using my idolatrous attempts to feel good enough apart from Christ to help me understand how loved I am. So God has been answering one of my biggest prayers throughout this whole time in my life. He's been answering the prayer, Lord, help me find more rest and peace in my time spent with you. Mm-hmm. And he's answered this prayer and continues to answer it. So I approach my God times now as a way to just draw near to God as I am, knowing he loves me with all my weaknesses, just as much now as he ever will in my entire life. And then also recognizing that that's all I need to be happy. Because for so long, I was convinced that I need something on the other side of a wall to be happy. some version of me that I felt like is what I want to be happy. And God had to just prove to me over and over again, that's not where happiness is. Happiness is right here with me, wherever you're at, experiencing whatever you're feeling, being open with him. And this gave me much more peace than I could ever drum up on my own. So when Kurt says be vulnerable and open with God, he means it. He is our best friend. He is someone that we can draw near to at any time. And he delights in drawing near to us. In fact, he loves drawing near to us in our weakness specifically. He's drawn to help. That's what compassion is. It's this impulse to come closer to people who are struggling, even with sin. So God loves us in our emotional mess. So I'd venture to guess that if there's one reason why some of you aren't having God times like you'd like to have, that it's probably something to do with not understanding this about God's nature, that he wants to draw near to you in whatever you're struggling with. And he wants to walk with you as a best friend and understand you. He has a gentle spirit. And so taking your emotions seriously and understanding those fleshly patterns so that you can draw near to God, that's what we're here for, to help you with. This church is really built around helping people understand these parts of themselves that they don't know are actually keeping them from God. And if you're interested in understanding more about these things yourself so that you can draw near to God, we're here to help. So you can talk to me or Kurt afterwards, and we can talk.
Thanks. Matt. Appreciate it. You know, I considered demonstrating this for you today on stage, that I would just have a God time right here on this stage and be open with God about what's in my heart. And I thought about, okay, what would come out? Let's see. That probably wouldn't be a good idea. So a first step in giving and resolving our negative emotions in our God times is to recognize and express them to God. The second step is to ask this part of your heart why it is feeling that way. And this is so you can recognize the lie about God's love that's making you feel that way. The third step is this, to praise God for whatever you know is true. Let's look at this verse again. Asaph wrote three times. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. He recognizes negative emotions. He asked why he was feeling that way. He realized that this part of him was believing a lie about God's love and taking away his hope in God. So what was the third step? He said he was deciding to put his hope in God. And what would help him do that? What would help him make his mind change from focusing on what it was discouraging and making him sad and put his hope in God? Well, praising God. Verbally expressing praise to God for what he knew was true, that God was his Savior and his loving God. In my previous message on God times, I spoke about the power of praising God. Let me repeat some of the things I said there. How can we grow in our belief and faith in God's love for us? Consistently praising him for how he has demonstrated his love for us is one important way that we become more convinced of God's love. Let me say that again. Consistently praising him every day for how he has demonstrated his love for you. I'm not talking about necessarily the cross. That was 2,000 years ago. Every day, yeah, thank him for the cross. But how has he demonstrated his love for you now in this life? You got to find those things. You got to recognize those things. They got to be real to you. Where God, in this life, right now, he has loved you. Like I said in that interview I did Friday night, oh my goodness, I came away from there just like, my goodness, God has been gracious to me. I can't believe all the stupid stuff I've done. And he's blessed me still. So you got to know those things. You got to be praising God for them. So praising God reminds us of the blessings and the goodness and love we have experienced from God. And we know God allows. Yes, we know God allows a lot of hard and painful things in our life. And those experiences, they attack our faith and God's love for us, don't they? And therefore, we must combat that failing faith with praising God for the good things he has done for us, which are always better and bigger than any of the hard things he allows. Excuse me. That wasn't a sneeze, that was a cough. That makes you feel better. Scripture says, let all that I am praise the Lord, so then may I never forget the good things he does for me. And that is what hard events in your life tempt you to do. Forget the good things God does for you. And then we will be right back to Eve in the garden, focus on the one thing God is not doing for us and forgetting all of the more important ways he has blessed us. You might remember that from my previous message. Don't forget those things about the power of praising God in our God times. So a third step to resolving our negative and sinful emotions in our God time is to praise God about the truth you need. So ask this question, is there a part of you that is doubting his love? Praise God for the powerful ways he has demonstrated his love to you. My primary text again today is God's command and encouragement to give all your worries and cares, all of your negative and sinful feelings to God in your God time because he cares for you. How do we do that? Again, we honestly express our negative feelings to God, ask why you were feeling that way to reveal the lie about God's love that is causing it. Thirdly, attack that lie and those feelings by praising God for the truth you know about his love. Or as my primary text puts it, praise God for how you know God cares about you. And again, the beginning of this whole process is openness with God in your God time. Being honest with him about your negative and even sinful feelings and your struggles. And this is because, as my primary point states again, being open with God about your negative feelings helps you have power over them. I want to end my message today by playing a song for you. I'm not going to perform it, by the way. It is a very, sound guys are going to play it for us. It is a very popular song on the radio right now, and for good reason. I wanted to play this song because the person is simply expressing raw emotion to God here. And she is pouring her heart out to God and giving us an example, a modern example of a psalm where a person is being very open with God in their God time. After this song, I'll come back up in just a minute.
Myself and I'm tired, I've tried all that I know to do. Right now it's just by a thread, but I'm hanging on to you. I'm running out of hope, I need a miracle, and if I ever needed you, it's right now.
Right now, oh God, I'm desperate, down on my knees, sin.
Amen. Amen. Spend a moment with the person next to you discussing what was meaningful to you about today's message, and I'll come up and dismiss this in a moment.